This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 1-1. High drive. Well hit ball out into center. Leote just watching as it hits up over the batter's eye. Second home run for De La Cruz. Both come with men on board. This two-run shot makes it 14-0.
Woo! And he did it with the torpedo bat. Final hour, fist pump time on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On, here with Sean and RJ, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back. You're appreciated for listening on your home for Rangers baseball. And Kumar Rocker and your baseball team get smoked yesterday, 14-3 in Cincinnati against the Reds. Bruce Bochy on the annihilation.
Yeah, well, it was one of those games that it just started out bad and gradually got worse. Their guy did a great job on us, had his sinker slider going, and our guy just made some mistakes. Down the middle with the fastball and had trouble getting the breaking ball over at times, and we made too many mistakes ahead in the count, too. We just didn't pitch well, and of course, the bats were quiet, and it just didn't go well.
It did not go well. But you know what? When your starting pitcher gives up six runs in two innings, no bats are going to go well. You lose your edge as an offense. The other pitcher starts pitching you differently. You lose your complete edge, and the game is over before it really even gets started. And, Singer was really, really good for them in the first inning, getting Semien and Seager to strike out, basically in the same pitch.
The bats disappeared as well.
Yeah, the bats didn't do anything.
Total no show.
But when you're down six zip after two innings, you're really put in a tough spot as an offense. And then, Rocker did not do what they needed him to do when you're playing seven straight games start a season and not having an off day, and that's give the bullpen any rest, especially after Malley didn't even get out of the second inning 3 days ago.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it any easier.
Yep, using up a lot of bullpen arms right now, and the Rocker stuff it's concerning because, like we talked about in March, they had concerns about, all right, how is Kumar Rocker coming along in terms of with his mechanics, and what's the problem? Why is he pitching so wild? Why is he hitting guys? I mean, he hit three batters in two appearances to start spring and was walking guys, and yesterday it's wild pitch, couple walks, almost hit a guy. Like, it was just not a very good performance, and it brings up a lot of questions about how much you can lean on him.
But look, these things are all ebbs and flows.
Oh, for sure.
This is a lighter Rocker seesaw, and it will be throughout their career. Both start off with the hype, and then it was like Jack in the lead. Then Jack struggles and stumbles, and Kumar last year, we were all sipping that Kool-Aid, and we're like, oh my gosh, he's the stud. And now we're back to lighter after his first appearance, and we're selling or down on Rocker stock. So we're going back and forth. Last year it was Rocker. Right now it's lighter.
Does it make you any more concerned, though, with the seesaw, the fact that this is carrying over from spring for Rocker?
No, I mean...
Or do you think it's just... He's still young. He's working mechanics out. Yeah. He always had... That was one of the things when he was coming out of Vandy that they were like, he needs to clean up his mechanics. It's wild. A lot of people were not... It didn't sound like surprised when he had the UCL issue.
Yeah.
Because of his delivery and some of the things. And so I know they're trying to clean it up, but...
Like, Jack Leiter had to overcome an entire season of disappointment. I give Jack Leiter that credit for the first start of, you know, what he went through last year. Everyone's saying possible bust, having to get over his pregame hyperventilation of, you know, being too hyped and too excited. Okay, so Kumar Rocker has to get over spring training or whatever happened there in Arizona. Jack did it.
Gonna have to.
For one start after an entire disappointing season.
Right.
So it's way too early.
Yeah, and look, I mean,
the guy's a horse. Let's start there. That's good.
Who, Rocker?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Now listen, one time through the rotation for all these guys. I don't think if they go the entire season and they have three really good starts and two really bad starts, you know, you're still winning 60% of your games. You're going to be fine. Now, your bullpen might be taxed because you can't sit there and have two of your five go a combined less than five innings. You're going to play 22 games in a row at some point. You need those days for your bullpen. Now, they're also going to be able to stretch Eovaldi and Leiter and DeGrom more than five innings. You know, first start out, you're on a pretty strict pitch count. Like, they're not going to let you go 110 pitches, you know, the first game. So they'll be able to, you know, stretch these guys out a little bit. But, you know, right now it's just they've had two rough outings from two of the five.
Nate Eovaldi back on the mound today on this radio station. 5 o'clock pregame, first pitch at 5:40.
Are the Rangers responsible for ageism in Major League Baseball? I saw this article from Verducci, and he was talking about the game has never been so young. All right. For the first time ever last year, we had four shortstops no older than 25 years old hit 25 home runs. The past 2 years are the only seasons ever in which under 25 aged players had 1,200 home runs across the bigs and 1,200 stolen bases. It's a faster, more athletic game. Plate appearances by players 36 years old and older last year were down 62%. 36 plus took the fewest plate appearances since 1977. On the pitching front, starts for age 36 plus pitchers dropped 36%. Right now, these are the following names without jobs in Major League Baseball: Matt Carpenter, J.D. Martinez, Jose Abreu, Adam Duvall, Whit Merrifield, Anthony Rizzo, Aaron Hicks, Mitch Haniger, David Robertson, Lance Lynn. Tommy Pham is 37. He just signed in the middle of February. Andrew Heaney is 33. He just signed at the end of February.
Mm.
We are seeing the last, and the Rangers were really the first team on this. The past two World Series champions, Rangers in 23 and then Dodgers last year, did not give a single at-bat to a player over 36. Not a single at-bat.
Wow.
You never see that. 13 teams have won World Series while giving at least 800 at-bats to 36-year-old players or more. None of them since PED testing began a little less than 20 years ago. So what they're seeing is that, obviously, now that you have fewer PEDs, guys can't maintain that as they get older. But also, teams are like, we are done with the expensive veterans. We are valuing youth over experience.
Until our 10-year contracts start going the wrong way.
Right.
Until our Shohei deal.
Until the Shohei deal.
Second
until the,
half of it.
Juan Soto deal. Right? Juan Soto just signed a 15-year deal. So, I don't know. It's interesting that, you know, not a single at-bat to a guy 36 or older for either of the last two World Series champs, the Rangers may have started that trend.
Yeah, but here's the only thing about the Rangers is that while they don't have the very peak right up there of the 36-year-old, they are, obviously, they've got Bruce Bochy, one of the older managers in baseball, mm-hmm. Chop. They also had on their World Series team leading them in wins above replacement was 32-year-old Marcus Semien. And they were one of the league average age of the entire roster was on the older half mm-hmm. of the league. For that range,
older prime, not older old.
Yeah, but into their 30s. They had guys into their 30s on that. And then you obviously had 33-year-old Nathan Eovaldi. They went out and acquired 40-year-old Scherzer. They paid 34-year-old Jacob DeGrom. So, I don't know. They've they've still, I don't think they're totally responsible for the ageism. I think it's more Baltimore is responsible for causing everybody to want to go young and just go, oh, let's build this way. Young, cheap,
yeah.
Start
yeah.
building up the farm system and we'll go this way.
All right. Rafael Devers struck out a few more times. He now has 15 strikeouts in 19 at-bats this year. For reference, Joe DiMaggio in 1941 had 13 strikeouts and 622 at-bats.
Oh, my word. Mm.
Tony Gwynn, in 7 of his last 8 years of his career, had fewer than 19 strikeouts per year in 7 of the last 8, including 15 strikeouts in 577 at-bats in 1995.
Woo!
And Rafael Devers is sitting here striking out 15 times in the 19 at-bats.
And a lot of them against the Rangers, I believe, were off fastballs, and he was just late. Mm-hmm. He was late on breaking pitches. He was just delayed in getting around in the zone.
He's
off in his head, obviously.
Absolutely. We talked about the torpedo bats quite a bit, and while a lot more players have decided that they are going to be on the torpedo bat trend. The following players used these yesterday, including Ellie De La Cruz, who hit a couple of bombs against the Rangers. Adley Rutschman, Orioles. Jose Trevino, Reds. Dansby Swanson. Nico Horner with the Cubs. Ryan Jeffers with the Twins. Lindor with the Mets. With the Yankees, you have Bellinger, Goldschmidt, Chisholm, Volpe, and Wells. With the Rays, you have Junior Caminero. And then the Blue Jays have Davis Schneider. The Braves have ordered these bats like crazy. Other teams are getting in on this. The Rangers are going to start getting in on this with, you know, certain players as the year moves on. It takes about 4 weeks.
Peterson says he's interested. Possibly Berger as well.
Yep. And it's just smart. And baseball is, they're not going to change. The rule's been around for a while where you can use these kind of bats. And is it going to change how the sport is pitched? I think it is.
Rutschman was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Rutschman had, heading into yesterday, he had 3 extra base hits, had only struck out twice. Yesterday, he went 1-for-5, no extra base hits, and he struck out.
Okay.
So there's at least one anecdotal one that didn't work out yet.
Remember Eric Hosmer?
I was in Kansas City with him.
Yes, you were.
The leader of the Royals.
He is calling out Roki Sasaki. Now, Roki pitched for the Dodgers the other night, and...
And he was an off-season big name.
Big-time off-season. The biggest, or one of the biggest off-season acquisitions. He came over from Japan, and, you know, if you watch this video here, this is Roki getting taken out of the game.
And his first start at Dodger Stadium, walk 4 batters... Allowed 2 runs, and there he is, wiping his face.
But watch, he never uses his fingertips to wipe anything.
Yeah.
He never uses his fingertips to wipe his hand. It's always the bottom of his palm.
Yes.
You know, and I've never seen somebody wipe their face with the bottom. You know, I've never seen that. And the thought is, like, was he trying to make sure that his fingers don't touch the hat and then stick, and you could see it, right? And you could see it stick. So Hosmer's like, hand is obviously sticky. It seems like he's having a tough time blending his the substance to get the right grip on these MLB baseballs because the baseballs are a little bit different. And he says, we all know those, because somebody said, well, they wipe you down between every inning. And he's like, yeah, we all know those wipe downs are legit. Ha, ha, ha.
And is it every inning? I thought they like checked you once in the beginning here and there. By the way, through 2 starts, Sasaki, a league-leading 9 walks in 4 2/3 innings.
I love the psychopath attention to detail of baseball players. That Eric Hosmer is just watching him walk, wipe off sweat, which I would just watch and go like, that's kind of a weird way to wipe off sweat. And he's like, he's got stuff on his fingers. He's cheating. Like, they are so detail driven. It's
yeah,
nuts.
Are.
I don't
really
understand
is.
Them.
It really is crazy how they could just pick out anything. So maybe, perhaps, Roki Sasaki is using the sticky stuff.
Diamond Cavs with RJ Choppy on the home of the Rangers pregame today with Jared Sandler at 5 o'clock, first pitch at 5:40. We're all really frustrated with the Dallas Cowboys and the way they negotiate. Steven says, we don't care that you think we wait too long. What's it really like? What's the reality, the truth, inside a Dallas Cowboy negotiation? We'll take you inside of one next. Sean, RJ, along with our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, would you like the key to winning the NFC East, the Cowboys' offensive identity, or some possible pressure on Micah Parsons, the leader?
Oh man.
Let's do the identity.
Yeah, identity's good. By the way, we also have breaking news on a rule change, if you'd like it, really quickly.
Sure.
The 35-yard line is the new place after touchbacks. The NFL passed that for the kickoff. So a touchback puts the ball out at the 35, and that is meant to encourage teams to stop kicking it out of the end zone since the little bounce zone and everything didn't work so well last year.
And what was it?
So that's improvement.
The rule last year, the one up this year.
The yard line before.
If it was 30, they'd move it up to. Now they're going to move it up to the 35.
It's not worth it.
So much offensive advantage.
Yeah.
It's still not worth it to me. I'm kicking it through.
Then put him at the 35. I need to look up and see what were the percentage of drives last year that scored from the 35 versus the 30.
Go ahead, Chavi. Explain your point.
It's just like, all right, so it hasn't been at the 20 for some time. It had been moved to the 25, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right. So then it's 10-yard difference from what it was, you know, before last year. So like last several years. We are in a passing league. Yardage is so much more less important today. Field position is not as important as it used to be because of the passing. Now, if you have a bad quarterback, that's a different story. Patrick Mahomes can score from any spot on the field. It doesn't matter. Don't give him the ball back. Like it's that. Like that's why teams go for it on fourth down against the great quarterbacks. Just don't give them the ball. It doesn't matter where they start from. They can find a way to score. The risk of them running it back, of you kicking it short and them running it back and getting beyond the 35 or even a touchdown is far greater than the minimal increase in their chance of scoring a touchdown from the 35 versus the 30 or 25.
The return rate in 2024 was 33%. And the NFL projects that this will cause the return rate to go up to 60 to 70%. But I think they also projected that last year. Yeah. They were wrong. So
Now, look, will it help you score a field goal? Yeah, I mean, you might be able to get three a little bit easier. You're 10 yards closer.
They are giving both teams overtime possession. It's a 10-minute overtime. Both teams will be able to possess. It can't be a walk-off touchdown. And they are voting on the tush push today. Stephen Jones against it, saying, well, you don't allow linebackers to push D tackles, extra points, and stuff like that. So he wants consistency there. And I love...
That's not what I just said.
Matt LaFleur just saying, it's not a great football play.
Yeah.
All right? And that's my thing. It's rugby.
Yeah.
And that's what LaFleur said.
That's exactly what it comes out to. And the latest reports, by the way, Russini and a couple other reporters are saying they are expecting that's not even going to get voted on today. Like, they're going to vote, but the anticipation is they're going to table it till May and we're not going to get a resolution on it today.
Yeah, Jordan Schultz is like, no, don't look for them to ban the tush push today. All right, Brian Schottenheimer on a word that the Cowboys have been terrified and hesitant to define or discuss going back to the Jason Garrett days on this show. Identity. What do you want your offensive identity to be? This is Brian Schottenheimer. Quote, physical. I talked a little bit in the opening press conference about the marriage between the run game and the action pass, but as a football team, as an offense, we want to be physical. My MO has always been to run the football. I really believe that the game, like I said, is up front. So there it is. We finally have a word for offensive identity. Why are you smirking?
Because it's... Is he saying it's always been his identity, like his perceived identity?
Well,
or he's talking about his own philosophy, because we talked to him.
Well, there's a reason why he was, you know, made fun of as an offensive coordinator, has been made fun of throughout the majority of his career for being too Stone Age and conservative in Seattle.
Sure, 100%. And that's, again, if that's a perception thing he's talking about, fine. If he's talking about his own philosophy, A, we were in Indianapolis and we stood there 5 feet from him while he talked about, yeah, I got in trouble for trying to let Russ cook in Seattle. I didn't want to run the ball. I wanted him to throw it.
Yeah.
And then we played that clip from Collision Low Crossers where they talked about when he was in the Jets film room and they'd run the running plays on the practice tape. He'd go, can we fast forward? Can we just get back to the pass plays? And they go, no. And he goes, fine, wake me when it's over. So it's like, all right, always, I don't know, because you've represented it in a couple other places that you are about the passing game.
It's also smart PR today to shed that conservative label and talk about passing and throwing.
Speak for yourself.
Hey, we did research on this, though, right after he was hired. And we found, like, the quarterbacks he worked with wasn't necessarily a murderer's row, but the guys he worked with generally had their best output with him.
What needs to happen to win the NFC East? Quote, and John Machado with these quotes, addressing the front seven on both sides of the ball is something we wanted to do. One of the mantras of our program is going to be you've got to own the line of scrimmage. So whether it's Philly, Washington, or the Giants, they all have good fronts. You have to be able to do that from an offensive perspective. From a defensive perspective, you have to be able to pressure the quarterback. It's going to be a really fun division to watch, but one that we feel very comfortable in our ability to go and win. So that is Shoddy on the division. And then finally, these some Phil Jackson mind games.
Zen master.
With Micah Parsons. When the voluntary offseason program starts next week, Schottenheimer expects Micah to be a participant. This is from Todd Archer. Over the past 2 years, he has not always been there working on his own. He's been at the mandatory June minicamp. But now, contract negotiations, there's been a thought he would not be around. CD skipped the offseason minicamp last year, most of training camp. Dak did not miss a day before signing his deal in September. And Schottenheimer said, look, quote, at the end of the day, it's a business, blah, 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 blah. But Micah said he's going to be around. I think that he wants to be. I think we're all very comfortable with that. At the end of the day, he's a great player, just getting started. I have no question in my mind he will be around. Mike is excited about the opportunity to step up in a leadership role. There's no reason he shouldn't. The best teams I've been around, their best players are their best leaders. I think the more you're around, the more you have a chance to influence guys, and not just the guys that are back there, but a bunch of new faces. We're going to add some guys in the draft, part of blah, 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 blah. I think he'll be around.
I mean, you gotta
was an exact quote.
You got to Teddy KGB him and pay that man his money if you want him around.
Well, he's,
the way it's going to work, he ain't going to be at OTA's minicamp.
I mean, here's the thing, though. I wouldn't think so.
Or training camp.
If he told Schottenheimer he's going to be there, I don't know if maybe Shotty doesn't totally buy that either. But if he told him, he's like, all right, let's. I'm going to tell people you said you were going to be there. Because that is one of the times we most saw Mike McCarthy irritated was last year, was when Micah was not present. And he got questions about, he clearly was not thrilled that Micah Parsons didn't show up. And that's something that feels like Schottenheimer's trying to put a little bit of pressure on him early. Yep. Just say, you better be out there, boy.
All right, speaking of pressure and contracts and Dak and a little comparison, I've never heard this guy speak, Todd France. He is the agent for Dak Prescott. And the other day, he sat down. Athletes First is the name of their agency. And I just wanted to play two clips to try to gain some insight and perspective on what it's like. I always love hearing about negotiations anyway, what's really happening, the ugly underbelly. And what is it like negotiating with Jerry and Steven? So this is Todd France talking about the contract talks with Dak before the 2024 season.
Especially when they started very late coming back at us. They could have done it all off season.
Stop. Yep. Stop it right there. Number one, there's an instant indictment of the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Todd France saying, because the Cowboys like to say, well, wouldn't you admit, Dak? You want to tell these reporters it's not just us holding it up? That's Todd France. Mm-hmm. Now, he's one-sided.
Sure.
But that's him saying the Cowboys could have started this much earlier, and they waited and waited and waited. Let's play it from the beginning, Pepe.
Especially when they started very late coming back at us. They could have done it all offseason.
Yep.
And when Dak's getting ready for camp and getting into camp, the switch flips. Like, he does not want to be involved in or having conversations about the contract.
Yep.
Now, we can talk about it. And he didn't even want to be updated unless there was something worthy to be talked about. Yep. Now, I still did. And he still heard it. But they were shorter conversations. They weren't near as in-depth as they were the first go-around because he was in training camp.
Yep.
And that's where he wanted to be. And that's where his mindset was. And he was willing to bet on himself. He's like, that's fine. They don't want to do a contract. I'll be a free agent.
Yep.
You know, and of course, the Cowboys, you know, were banking on the star on the helmet and that no matter what, he's going to come back. And it wasn't going to work out that way. I had a deal not worked out. I really believe it.
All right.
Wow.
So that's part one. Part two, the specifics of the Dak deal in terms of the back and forth.
You know, we engaged in negotiations with the Cowboys and ultimately couldn't get a deal done. Yep. They wanted a 5-year deal. We wanted a 4-year deal. We thought the number of years was ridiculously important. And they thought the same thing. And they ultimately, you know, made a significant offer of guaranteed money, but you just can't look at the guaranteed money in a vacuum. You have to look at all of the pieces. And obviously the media is getting bits and pieces and making it out like Dak's crazy and he's being offered $100 million guaranteed and he's this and he's that. And, you know, and ultimately, you know, I had to sit down with Dak and educate him on why it doesn't make sense to do that deal. Luckily for me, Dak put all his 100% trust and faith in what I was guiding him and telling him. We went through every scenario. It was very detailed. And we ultimately turned down that money. Yeah. And I remember the day I called Steven and told him we weren't going to do it. And I remember exactly what his response was.
And he would not elaborate. No. Oh, it's Steven's exact. So 5-4 was a huge holdup.
Okay, so that
number of years.
That's interesting because obviously you want the shorter term deal if you're like an in your prime player. That means you get back to free agency quicker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Dak's playing beyond this contract, at least not here. He's going to be way too old and broken down. I get why he would want to like leave the option open, but there's a theoretical possibility that he's leaving $60 million on the table that he's not going to get on the back
but
end.
But he's not, just like many athletes, they're not thinking, I'm going to be like broken
that.
Down.
Yeah, they don't think like that.
But you know, you think you're invincible.
But he's not going to leave anything on the table because that fifth year would not be one they would guarantee. Like the way the structure would be, it's in all likelihood that fifth year was there to get numbers a certain way or to make things look a certain way that then they could go, all right, well, here's the contract and here we are without having void years on here and being able to manipulate it a little bit. And they were just not going to play that game because that fifth year, I would very seriously doubt had any guarantees on it.
The other creative thing, this is just me being a negotiation nerd and I'm probably butchering some details of this. They were considering making the Cowboys include that franchise them a third time and then we'll sign like our real deal. Because if you get franchised a third time, I don't think you can be throughout the rest of your career in the entire league. So they were trying to get like the check of the third franchise just from a technical aspect so that if Dak somewhere down the road gets franchised, you couldn't
do it. Can't do it.
Starting center. As of right now, for the Dallas Cowboys, Bobby Belt is?
Cooper Beebe.
You are correct. Brian Schottenheimer, according to Nick Harris, just saying that's the plan right now. Can Brock Hoffman be a 17-game starter at right guard, saying I never would bet against Brock? If I was in a back room of a bar and had to get out the way he's wired, he'd be one of the first guys I would want with me. So Cooper Beebe at center, the plan right now, according to Brian Schottenheimer. Speaking of Florida,
could definitely see out of anybody on the Cowboys roster just being like, yeah, I'll take Brock to try and get out of this bar. That's a good way to put it, a good analogy for BB. I do think it's interesting that when we were in Indy, he had made the point Schottenheimer did that, or the way he referenced BB playing center was that he didn't completely shut down the idea that he could play guard. But he also said he didn't want to lose that year of work.
That is the return of Kevin Hagelin. With Crosstalk of the KNC Masterpiece and breaking news on the Tush Push, we have a decision. Next on Sean and RJ. It is the return of Kevin Hagelin as we Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece. That's Bobby applauding, not me, here on 105.3.
The hands were too big. You could tell.
Welcome back.
What up? Hey, I missed it earlier. Where are we at in the competition with y'all for the bracket?
I'm clear. I'm good. Me and Bobby.
We're clear.
Are clear and good.
It was the Houston game.
So it just comes down to RJ and Peyton. What needs to happen?
If Florida wins the title, Peyton loses. If Houston beats Florida, Peyton and Choppy tie, all other outcomes, Choppy loses.
If Peyton loses and he crushes his hosting segment, his 30 minutes.
Yeah.
For either reason. He's either really, really good, which I'm not counting on, or he's really, really funny. we're probably going to give Peyton a second segment.
I say fire him, give him a weekend show.
You just glossed over really big news. Oh, a second full segment
That's
weekly
ridiculous.
For Peyton?
What are you doing?
How many does Alec have?
As many as he wants. Every day.
Yeah.
Huh? Every day.
But it's one.
He gets
two separate segments.
Alec does?
No, I'm saying Peyton will get two separate segments. He has the one that he does every day, but Peyton would be getting two different segments.
Yeah, I'm saying Alec right now has one, though. His
Which
own
is
segment.
Five a week.
Oh, he would say five.
Oh, five a
yeah,
week.
Five a
and
week.
Peyton has one a week.
Okay. Have you guys looked at the numbers for Alec's segment?
Ooh, no.
Not since Ooh. Mike left.
We need to get Gavin to pull those for both segments and really compare Ooh. Who's doing better.
They would
lord that over the other.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Lord. Absolutely.
I feel like Alec is going to go talk to one of the bosses and be like, hey, let me go ahead and get that information right now.
Yeah.
Before they get their hands on it.
I've already started planning my 30 minutes.
You have?
Oh. Yeah, he called me yesterday.
I've already started. I'm actually kind of hoping that I do lose.
Oh.
Because I do think it would be. I think it would be quite good.
It's 5:30 to 6.
Wait.
I got this. This is really simple. You hop on and you do exactly what I've always done. Every time I've worked, I've filled in for y'all. What the hell are y'all doing up so early? And just let people text in and then you're done.
Yeah.
Then you're at 6 o'clock and you're ready to rock.
Could RJ just volunteer right now if he said he kind of hopes he gets it?
No, because Peyton probably hopes he gets it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, give it to me.
What is involved in your planning?
Mark? I'm really going to use the audio loophole.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Give me an elf.
Yeah, we said 2 minutes. We said 2 minutes of audio.
Yeah.
I'm going to break this down into about 120 1-second clips.
that I'm going to set up and play.
This whole thing is a loss for
a montage.
Me. This whole thing is a loss for
oh,
me.
Oh, Peyton is, yeah, Peyton is going to be, yeah, he's going to be working. God. He's going to be working the overnights here.
Don't pick chalk, Peyton, and you don't have to worry about that.
Editing. So. All right, we got some breaking NFL news. Jordan Schultz, no vote today on banning the tush push. It's being tabled to a future meeting as Stephen Jones apparently not in support of the tush push. I love it.
Still have to talk about this crap again then? Like, we're not done with it? Can we just be done with it? It's
right?
stupid to even have this discussion.
Is
like,
it this
really
or
is.
Aaron Rodgers that beats you down?
Ooh,
man.
Packers
Aaron
are responsible
Rodgers.
For both.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Valid. Valid. It's always That's the Packers, isn't it?
Multiple reporters are saying that the Cowboys have offered Micah Parsons a record deal, but the problem is the agent hasn't really been involved, and that Jerry or Steven, the Joneses, are going straight to Micah.
Micah likes to visit. He likes to chat.
This I see from Mike Fisher. I see from Clarence Hill.
Gentlemen.
How common is this? You're going around the agent?
It's been common for them. I mean, they've talked about it openly, that they've gotten deals done where they just, hey, let me pick up the phone. Let me talk to Zach Martin. Let me talk to DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah, DeMarcus Lawrence said, hey, I want to talk to them now. I'm done letting you negotiate. Get me on the phone with Jerry, right? So, like, this happens frequently.
I mean, honestly, that's always made sense to me. I think the Players Association can suck it. The agent works for the player, and if the player says, go get the deal done, I think that's what should happen.
Well, my question is, are you meeting face-to-face for a final talk, or how long has this been circumventing the agent?
They still get their commission.
How many talks and discussions have they had to where David Mulugeta was not involved?
I know they had not done enough legwork to be able to just have a meeting with Mike and say, hey, would you approve this? Since it's not like they did a whole bunch of legwork on a deal. That has not happened.
What do you think David Mulugeta's response to this is?
You guys are going to sign a fully guaranteed contract now for all 4 years. He is a shark, like in a good way, like the way you want somebody representing you. He will get a deal that...
I mean, he's the one who just blew up the secondary market, right?
He blew up the secondary market. He is the one who got Cleveland to agree to that fully guaranteed contract for Deshaun Watson. He basically, a couple years ago, I think it was 2019, he got more for his... Everybody thought the safety market was dead. And in 2019, he got his first three safety clients who had entered the market that year more in guaranteed money than the entire safety market the year before had signed in total contract value.
That's great. That was against other teams. Now you're having to negotiate against the Cowboys.
That's right. And they have not wanted to negotiate. They've known this was going to be a negotiation they were not excited about for a long time.
Do you think they just write on a sheet of paper, they just sign it and be like, why don't you fill it out what you want?
I don't think that's what they do.
But it kind of feels like it's not far off, right?
That one, but
it feels like it's not far off.
They've had a couple where they can count them as victories. But
OSA.
I mean,
they won the OSA deal.
A lot of the offensive line deals were victories for them. The OSA one was a victory for them.
I mean, Tyron's deal was a big victory. Like that was under market.
Yeah, and then it's just, I mean, they've also lost some others, and this is it's funny. Years ago, I know that the Cowboys were a player had asked them, like, hey, who would you say I go with? And the feedback he got, this is years ago. The feedback he got was like, yeah, we don't care, just not Todd France.
He's
a shark.
He was a little surly listening to that audio. I was like, ugh, this guy's not too likable in my opinion.
There were hurt feelings from that last negotiation.
All right, so it's Tuesday, and we have Ask Reddit Leftovers that we'd like to throw your way with Kevin and Corey on DFW Sports Station. So what did we not get to, Roberto?
All right, let's go to this one. Kevin Hagelin, what is something you think will be gone by 2050?
God, you hope it's April Fool's, right?
Radio?
You would hope, yeah.
Why is that still a thing?
2015?
2050. Okay. 2015's already in the past, Marty.
Yeah, that's why I was, like, confused.
I hope...
Robert.
You said radio.
Radio.
Oh, man. I hope it's April Fool's.
What did Corey
say? You hope it's April Fool's?
Yeah, this is stupid.
I'm really adamant that April 1st come around every year, like... That every day comes around every year. I hope.
And that's fine.
I don't want to see.
But we just don't have to do
the end of any days.
This tomfoolery, right? Yeah.
And then what did you say, Corey? You just said Social Security?
I said tariffs, yeah.
Oh, tariffs, yeah.
They better be around.
Social Security.
Bill Gates said in 30
Corey
years.
Said it.
Bill Gates said in 30 years that every job will be done by AI.
I saw that the other day,
humans
dude.
Will have like no...
What do we do?
I just believe
we're just around. Like Wally.
The goal Riot. Is leisure time anyway.
Yeah.
That is the goal. Your goal is to work. I get it, Kevin. The goal is leisure, more time to yourself so you can watch X-Men 97 again. All right. More time to yourself so you can watch WrestleMania 7 and Mr. T going out to box the human ice cube or whatever. That's what your goal is to have more time. So if AI's doing it and we can still barter and have that kind of system built, we should
I'm
be able
curious,
to do it.
Yeah, about how we all, the rest of us, make a living.
Peaches. Go back to barter days. Barter days.
Peach farm.
And the cowboys
I have
lose.
This child that I found on the street. You can have.
Oh, my God.
You can have them.
I need three potatoes.
I was saying, let's trade peaches. Remember my peach farm idea? That's the way we should do it.
All right, this will take some thinking probably, but I think it's a really good question to ask. So I'm just going to throw it out, and whoever has one first can answer here. What are examples of being picked last in gym that are equivalent as an adult?
Oh.
That's a great question.
Not being invited to work happy hour or something like
that.
Yeah,
dinners.
Or work lunch or friend group lunch happy hour thing.
Top response was getting invited out only on the condition of being the designated driver. Ooh. That was the top answer.
That's oddly specific.
Dang.
What about wedding? Not being the... In the crew,
how many people want to go to
the bridal party?
People want to go to the wedding, though.
Huh?
You don't want to go to
yeah,
wedding.
I do.
Oh, you do?
If it's a fun person.
Oh, man, I don't ever want to go.
You don't want to go to weddings?
No, I'd rather do anything else.
Why do you hate them?
Because it's not about me, probably. That's probably what it is.
I can see that. I feel you on that one.
Yeah, thanks.
You go and enjoy an open bar and a buffet?
If there's an
what
open
if
bar.
They don't have an open bar?
Yeah, there.
How about let's get a group photo together and somebody hands you the phone?
Oh,
oh man.
Oh, God. That's
damn.
Cold.
That was in that movie. That was in the movie A Real Pain or whatever it was. When Jesse Eisenberg, they were like, hey, will you take this picture? And they were like.
That happened to Walchuk over and over at the brewery in Fort Worth that we went to. Everyone just wanted me and RJ celebrity photos.
Here, take a photo.
And
Zach
had to keep taking it. It was amazing.
Some of the other answers that were out there, people talking about party plans in front of you but not inviting you. When somebody goes around the office getting lunch orders and they don't ask you.
Ooh, I could see that.
How about the last second invite? Where you know it was a charity. Yeah. It was a charity invite.
Yeah, like they probably have plans, so now I can safely invite them because I don't want them to come. All right, how about what, Choppy, you can answer this one first. What's something women think men care about, but in reality they don't?
Okay, so have you seen the TD Jakes like clip? It's old. It's old. No, where he's like, he asks his wife, "What's for dinner?" And she goes, "Well, it's the damnedest thing. You know, I was going to go here to get the chicken, but I went, and there was traffic, so I had to go to this place.
The details.
And then there was a sale on this, so I went all the way across town." He's like, "Just tell me what's for dinner."
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't care about the details.
Yeah. Yep, not at all.
So I was going to say,
show me the baby.
The people, yeah, a couple removed from the people I actually know or care about. Like, "Oh, hey, do you remember Janice's friend's cousin?"
No.
No. Who?
The story can
end
now.
Her friend? I don't even know her friend. Well, her friend's cousin. And I was like, "I just told you. I don't even know that other person who relates to them."
See, whenever I'm telling a story, Kristen will break and go, no. Here's the thing. And then she starts putting details in it that I'm like, I was skipping all these. I knew they were there. This is not necessary for the story.
Pepe, mm-hmm, do you have an answer for these? You're usually the best at Ask Reddit.
For the first one, the what would be done by 2050 would be the drive-thrus. I think going through the drive-thru, I think it's done.
Why?
Why?
Oh.
I just think, I mean, you're going to be able to order from a kiosk and have an AI, a robot, bring you out your order. Yeah. I mean, everything's done kiosk-wise, so that'd be my answer. So
it'll be a drive-up instead of a drive-thru.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
The second one?
What was the second one, Bobby?
What's something women think men care about, but in reality they don't?
Oh, it's the nails and eyelashes. I've never looked at a woman and eyelashes need to be nails. No, like makeup, I totally, like, yeah, I care about your makeup, but nails, eyelashes, I really don't.
I agree.
I love when Sarah gets her nails done and the eyelashes.
So you can bite them?
No. Yeah.
Are you still biting your nails? Is the stuff still on? Is it working?
It's not on at the moment.
Let me see them.
It's not on at the moment.
Oh, good night last night then, huh?
Because I saw a picture. You posted a picture the other day and your fingers looked awful. John terrible. Marjorie, let me see this. You need some lotion. That's nice. My God.
You used it all.
Say I do. That's wrong, Peyton. Nails absolutely matter.
No, yeah, they don't.
They especially if you're gonna wear the open toe shoes.
Whether or not it's that time.
No.
Yeah. Wait, what?
You care about
the toenails?
We gotta
go, dude. We gotta get to the art show now.
Did you hear what he said?
No.
Was it the Social Security thing?
No, it was before that.
All right, someone let me know. Odyssey Rewind. It's the return of the full KNC masterpiece next on The Fan.